All right. How's it going? It's your man, Sir Earl, coming at you with another podcast. It's my World One podcast. Coming at you with another episode. Today is Monday. It's actually Monday evening, October 5th. Who would have thought we're at the end of the year? It's the 10th month. But I'm recording on Monday because it's my podcast, and I didn't really feel like doing it over the weekend. So all my podcasts are done. I don't write anything down. I just speak as I speak. Half the time when I get on here, I have no idea what I'm even going to say or what the subject I'm going to talk about. It's all just, I guess, as younger kids say, freestyle. So sometimes it's just, you know, my mind is not working right and I have nothing useful to say. I give it a day or two, something will come. So I wanted to thank everybody. I just saw that Denmark had some downloads. France had some downloads. So I just wanted to thank everybody for, you know, listening to the podcast. I want to thank everybody who sent out prayers to my nephew. He wasn't doing too well at one point, but he got released from the hospital yesterday, and he's back home. So prayer is powerful, and it does work. So I want to thank everybody that reached, that took the time to set up a prayer for him without even knowing him. So I definitely appreciate that. And it shows that there is power in prayer, no matter what God you may pray to. So that's, I wanted to get that out the way. So my subject today, what I wanted to discuss, is titled, Did You Grow Up Really Poor? We grew up, we didn't know we were poor till we got older and people started telling us we were poor, but we just knew everybody in our neighborhood was basically like us. So it wasn't really anything special until we kind of moved. We were still living in Englewood, but we moved, and, you know, a couple of people, their parents had jobs. They had their own cars. They went to private school, which my ex-wife grew up across the street from me. She was one of them. So we started to see on 57 Elizabeth that things were a little bit different than where I live with my great-grandmother, which was on 70th and Green. A lot more violent on 57 Elizabeth, probably because as I was getting older, I started to find ways of getting in trouble. So, you know, the subject is, you know, did you grow up really poor? And I'll tell some brief things about my upbringing. One, I have a daughter that just turned 41. My firstborn was 41, September 27th, I think, 27, 28th. I'm only 55. That tells you, if you do the math, I was 14 when I had my daughter. So, and that's nothing that's uncommon in the neighborhood that I come from. I've seen people shot in the head. I was 4 years old when I seen that first murder happen. I've seen people beat to death with bats. I've seen people stabbed to death. I've seen, while being locked up in jail, men raped. I've been a part of probably three or four different home invasions where they actually came in, held us hostage, took what little we didn't have. So I've seen a lot of things in growing up, and it was, like I said, it was common. I just thought that that's the way life was. Basically, I moved out to the suburbs, and I was probably mid to late 20s when I did that. But, you know, we used to go, the 1st and 15th was the two most dangerous, it was the funnest and the most dangerous times where I grew up at. Because the first or the 15th, depending on your last name, you receive your SSI, Social Security check. So that's the most time people got robbed because they knew you had money. Every time we were part of home invasion, that was around that time. They knew you had money. But it was a time that we would all get together and go to the store, and we would do our whole shopping for the month. And everything was rationed out. Everything was, bought, it was six kids and three adults, nine people in a two bedroom apartment in Englewood, 70th and Green, that was filled with roaches and rats. It just was, they were there. They're like, they paid rent, they were there. I've asked several people and I've yet to meet one person that, say for instance, when we would open up a box of cereal to eat, like everything got rationed. You could have one bowl of cereal, you could have one or two cookies, because it all had to last. And so if you went above that, you would probably get your ass whooped by my great grandmother. So there were no extras. So when you sat down to eat, you ate what was made for you. You didn't say, well, I don't want to eat that. Because if you don't want to eat it, then your cousin or your brother or somebody's going to eat it. But that was the only meal you were getting. There were no options. You couldn't go to the refrigerator. Do I want a hot dog? Do I want Sloppy Joe? Do I want a hamburger? It wasn't like that. It was like, we got three square meals and a snack. That was it. We didn't drink a lot of pop because it was too expensive. We drank mostly Kool-Aid. We ate sugar sandwiches, mayonnaise sandwiches, ketchup sandwiches. I was probably a teenager before I realized that actually meat goes on bread. And all of this is no exaggeration. I was a teenager when I realized bread is meant to put meat on, not mayonnaise, ketchup, or syrup. But that was all you had. So if you got hungry, You went and you put mayonnaise on some slices of bread and you ate your mayonnaise sandwich. There were no luxuries. There was no, when we wanted candy, we would walk up the street to, my dad lived up the street, and my other grandmother. They never had any money, so what we would have to do, we'd have to take pop bottles to the store and return them for the deposits. Back then, a lot of y'all probably not old enough, but there was, 1 cent, 2 cent, 5 cent deposit on a bottle. So what we had to do, they would never give us money. We would go down there, wash out the bottles, take them to the store. And when you're carrying 10, 15 bottles, it makes a lot of noise. If you ever heard bottles rattle, that's what they're doing. So we were poorer than the poorer people, and they would make fun of us. And for years, they called us PBH. And we got to learn that PBH meant pop bottle hustlers. So even the poor kids, their parents could afford to get them a quarter and go to the store and get penny candy. We couldn't even afford that. We had to go get pop bottles and cash them in and buy our candy and hope it didn't get stolen on your way out the store or some guy standing out there to take it from you. So that's how we grew up living. But it never dawned to me that this was something that everybody wasn't doing. But you find out later, poor people were calling you a pop bottle hustler. It's like you were lower than the poor people. And that was strange, But anyway, you be at home and, like any kid, you get up in the morning, you want some cereal. So let's say you open up a box, and this is the thing I've asked a lot of people and I've yet to hear anybody tell me that. Let's say you open up a box of cereal and that box of cereal has a couple of roaches crawling around in it. Most people throw away the box of cereal. We couldn't. We would pick out the roaches and eat the cereal. It was just the way it was, because if you didn't get that bowl of cereal, if you threw it out, that was it. Your cereal was gone. Probably, you wouldn't get any more to next month. My great-grandmother, she went shopping once a month when she got her check. And like I said, it was us four. I have three siblings, two sisters and a brother, and then my cousins. So it was six kids living off my great-grandmother's SSI check. And I look back now and we had tons of fun. We really, really enjoyed. And that's probably why me and my cousin who passed away were so close. We had nothing else. You don't have video games and going to the movies and doing this and doing that. You didn't have money for that. You just played with your cousins or brothers and sisters, hand-me-down clothes, gym shoes with holes in them. That was normal life for us. So I listen to people now, and I look and I say, I walked a journey that a lot of people couldn't have walked. I didn't know it until now, but I walked, and everybody's pain is their pain. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has had a hard time according to what they had to endure. When I was 10, we moved to 57 Elizabeth. And the thing about 57 Elizabeth being 10, being a young black man, you had to fight because it was plagued with gangs. So I wound up joining a local street gang. And I realized growing up in that down there, you were either predator or prey. You either got taken advantage of or you took advantage of people. So I decided in moving down there, after getting my ass whooped and chased in the house quite a few times, I was going to be a predator. I was going to have everybody scared of me. So I took on that role. So I ran with guys who always, always had guns. They would not leave out the house without one. So shooting people or shooting at people, second nature. And we became known as that group that you don't even want to walk on the same side of the street they walking on, because violence was second nature to me. If you said something, you said something about me, you had a heavy, heavy price to pay. You did something to my family, you had a heavy price to pay. And that was my reputation growing up down there, and I lived it very well. There's probably not a single project in Chicago that I have not actively lived in, because the mother of my kids, that's where they lived. And I don't know if anybody know, but, when you live and you're so bad, your family is so bad, her brothers, you get put out of the projects. And that's what would happen to them. They would get thrown out of projects. That's the worst, but, I remember when I met my baby's mother's brother. The first time I met him, he had escaped from Audi home, juvenile detention, St. Charles, and stole a warden's car. And at that time, I was, breaking in cars, stealing radios, snatching food, snatching purses. And he taught me how to become a full-fledged auto thief. We had a rent. We had a place where we sold them. We had people we dealt with. And I did that for a long, long time. We would go out like it was a job almost every night. They called us the Midnight Auto Boys. And doing that is what led to me being incarcerated on quite a few occasions. 90% of the time, if the police came down my block, they were coming to my house, because I was always in trouble. I led my area, and we did a lot of things. So the police knew who I was, and anytime something would happen in the neighborhood, they would come to my house. I've been dragged out of house on more than one occasion in handcuffs because they were coming to arrest me. And that's just how I grew up. That's just how, it's not meant to sound braggadocious or tough or anything like that, because no one, a bullet is tougher than anybody. I had a lot of friends killed, a lot of them. One guy I was walking with when they pulled up and blew his head off, I was standing right next to him. It's a very, very, very rough environment. So when you listen to the news, 90% of the crimes that happen, murders, carjacking, things like that, it happened in the neighborhood that I grew up in, Inglewood. They would, all the time you listen to the news, this happened in Inglewood, this happened in Inglewood, this happened in Inglewood. It's a whole nother breed down there. They don't play. You have to be, or I felt at that time, you had to be extremely tough to make it through there. And so that's what I became. And it worked. They say only 2% make it out of there. They're either drug addicts, dead, or in jail. And as I look back now, most guys that I grew up with, they're either drug addicts, dead, or in jail. Only by, to me, the grace of God that I made it out, my lifestyle was no different than theirs. So, you know, this message is for anyone that grows up in a tough environment. Tough is prevalent to the individual. It don't have to be how I grew up. But the message is, no matter what, you always have a chance to make life good. I have several businesses. I have a big home, big house. And I cherish every day, because there were many days I didn't think I was going to make it. I was told I'd be dead by 16, and I tried to prove all of them right. You know, I've been stabbed, I've been shot at, I've been all these things. So, you know, they say God look out for bodybuilders and fools, so I guess I got a double dose. So what the point that I try to make with this podcast is, I want people to know, no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, no matter how tough it seems, you can change course, direction, and you too can become the success that you want to be. So, you know, that's my message for today. And, you know, I'll be back next week. And, you know, I'm signing out. I hope you get something from this, or let someone who's going through something get something from this. It's you can make it. You can do it. You can live your dreams no matter what, no matter how tough, how many times you felt you've been set back. You can still make it happen for yourself. So, this is your man, Sir Earl, signing out, saying to next week, peace.